All right, the recorder is started. And in the Kindle, I am on page 157. We're looking at verses 15 to 24 in NTI Luke 14. What page is it for you all?
158.
158 if you're in the paperback book. All right, so starting with verses 15 to 24. God welcomes all. You know, a thought just came to me. It's a silly thought, but I'm going to say it. Somebody commented about how good these audios sound. It's funny because you asked, but since then somebody commented. And I guess I'm just sharing that in case anybody ever has an iPad and feels to download this app and use it as audios. I did get a comment that these audios sound really good.
They do sound really good.
From your iPad?
Yeah. So it's a good...
Because you can download this.
Yeah, you can download this. It costs a couple bucks, the recorder. But, you know, there's so many to choose from. I didn't know which one to get, and I ended up getting this one. But I have heard feedback that the audio sound very good. In fact, last week you were sitting over there somewhere, and we could hear you.
So which one do you have?
The name of this app, and I'll go ahead and say it for the recording. Who knows? Maybe somebody's listening wants to know. Oh, I don't see the name of the app, so maybe I can't find out why it's playing. I think it's HD Recorder. HD Recorder is the name of it, I believe. Yeah.
But yeah, I went back and listened to
it. Did you? And you heard they sounded good too.
They sound really good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. They have really good sound quality. So, all right. So, verses 15 to 24. God welcomes all into the banquet of heaven. In fact, it can be no other way. For one will not find his way into the banquet unless he looks to his brothers and lets them show him the way. This is what I mean by that. The Spirit of God is one, and admission into the banquet is the acceptance of this fact. For the acceptance and the banquet are one. There is no difference and no delay between them. You see your brothers as separate from you and frequently in conflict with you. This is an illusion based on the judgments within your mind. Without the judgments that separate, there could be no separateness. So in the absence of judgment, there is only one. Many of the judgments you make are judgments regarding your brothers. I ask you to look at these. And I ask that you look at these judgments with willingness to let the judgments go. In making this request, I offer you the invitation to the banquet. Will you be distracted by your belief in your judgments instead? There will be fear and doubt and confusion about whether you should do what I have asked you to do. Look at what I ask you to do in this way. I hold out to you the invitation to the banquet. You may trust in your brother's perfection and lay your judgment aside, and that will be to accept my invitation. Or you may be distracted by your judgments and choose to trust them instead. It is your choice. So the banquet of heaven, he says, acceptance of the fact the Spirit of God is one. And of course, as you all know, this is not referring to the Spirit of God is one, but God is separate from many people, right? It means everything is one. This is what this means. The Spirit of God is one. It says acceptance of that fact is the banquet of heaven. And so really the only thing that keeps us out of the banquet of heaven are our thoughts of separation, which are specifically defined here as judgments. It says the judgments are the only thing that keeps us out. And so, you know, we looked at this earlier. This is just kind of circling around. We looked at this earlier and we talked about how sometimes there are judgments that we feel, but if I let go of this judgment, I might be unsafe. You know, like I have to know the difference between good people and bad people. Otherwise, you know, I just put myself out there with someone who's bad, someone whom I shouldn't trust, and I'll get myself into some kind of trouble. Yes, ma'am?
I've really noticed that.
You've noticed that? So you're afraid of...
It's like if certain people don't do certain things, somebody's going to hurt me or, you know, it's going to affect me.
Yes, yes. Okay, so, you know, it's kind of hard when you, I mean, there's no way we can take this book with our human minds as one and hear everything that's being said simultaneously. If we could, we would wake up. What happens is we hear it in chunks and we think about it in compartments. And so sometimes we hear one part of a lesson and we're not hearing another part of the lesson at the same time. But if you look at chapter 14 alone as a whole, last week the first part of chapter 14 was about learning to listen to guidance in the now. That is how you let go of judgment. It's not like you let go of judgment and then you're left with nothing. You're letting go of your judgment and you're learning to ask Holy Spirit for guidance. And I have shared with you, I think, I really have a terrible memory, so I don't know for sure if I have or not. Did I share with you all that regarding this person who was kind of stalker-like, as sweet as he was, did I share with you that my original guidance was not to return his emails or his phone calls? Did I tell you that? So, see, I didn't need judgment. In fact, it was actually my judgment that led me not to follow that guidance. You know, the interesting thing about guidance is guidance doesn't leave you out there hanging. Guidance will guide you away from circumstances as well. Because the circumstance, well, if we take this person, this stalker-like person, as an example, that circumstance was not in my best interest, but it wasn't in his best interest either, right? Love would not have wanted that entire situation to develop, right? So love guided me away from it. I just didn't listen. So, you know, and it's not that people are bad. You know, love never sees somebody as bad. Oh, that person's bad. You should stay away from that one. It just knows this is not a healthy situation for either of you, right? This is not going to be helpful to anyone. And so it will guide you without judgment away from circumstances that are not in your best interest. The more you give guidance a chance, and the more you clean out your pipes so that you can hear guidance more clearly and recognize guidance more readily, and that does take practice, at least in my experience it did. But the more you do that, the more you will see you actually do not need your own judgment. And you can lay your judgment down because guidance will take care of you. You know, so
part of what happens too is that when in that situation you may have thought it's not right or it's mean or I would be cruel to
it wasn't course like
it wasn't course like and so you decided how you wanted to react and what you wanted to do. And when people do that, a lot of times once things start going astray, you think, oh my gosh, now, you know, I can't correct my course and I'm going to have to try to do something to do course correction. And again, that's when you go back to listen for guidance, because guidance is like the GPS. It's always recalculating, always recalculating. So you can never make a fatal mistake.
Right.
You can wander off a little bit, but you're always going to have that guidance that's going to tell you, oh, you know, turn left. Turn left now.
Well, and in fact, in the end, that's what happened, is after the situation with this man deteriorated to a point where I was terrified, I then, you know, started listening to guidance. And the guidance then, you know, then the situation started to gradually come out of it. So it, like, went down into a worst place possible, and then it started gradually coming out of it. And it was in a pretty benign place by the time the story ended. So yes, guidance is always there. You know, this weekend, those of you on Facebook with me may already know this story, but last Friday we came home and our mailbox was open, and it was pretty windy last Friday, and we've had the experience before of mail blowing out of our mailbox. So I went looking around for some mail and found a couple pieces of mail in the neighbor's yard, both of which were actually just junk mail. And I didn't see anything else, so I didn't worry about it, you know. And I actually totally forgot about it. I never gave it another thought. On Sunday morning, I was driving to church, and all of a sudden, the memory of that open mailbox kind of ran across my mind. And then it's like my head just turned, and I saw an envelope on the side of the road. And I pulled over, got out of my car, and it was addressed to me, and it was a check. Mm-hmm. You see how well guidance can take care of you? I mean, I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't even thinking about it. This was forgotten for me, you know? So, you know, you really can trust guidance, but we have to learn that because we think that we need our judgment. We think we have to trust that. And the judgment is what's keeping us out of the banquet of heaven, as it's worded here, or out of seeing truly, because judgment separates. That's what it does by nature. There's no way you can have judgment and see oneness too. It's just, you can't do both. And so that's what's wonderful about guidance. And again, people, you know, because we're all screwed up, you know, you guys know that, right? I'm not telling you anything new. Because we're all screwed up, people get the idea that the purpose for following guidance is to be good or to be holy or to do what God wants me to do so that I can be approved. That's not really the purpose of guidance. The purpose of guidance is to be able to move about in the world without using your own thinking and judgment. That's the purpose of guidance. And guidance can take care of literally every detail of your life. You can grocery shop with intuitive guidance. You can order off a menu with intuitive guidance. You can pick clothes with an intuitive guidance. You can recognize whether you're going to say yes or no to a date request with intuitive guidance. Whether you're going to respond to something on Facebook with intuitive guidance. What's going to be said. I mean, you know, it can guide everything. You don't ever need your judgment. And that's really the lesson you want to be willing to learn. Because then you can really start to lay your judgment down. And you're freeing yourself up to see without seeing separation.
You know, a lot of times I think I'm not being guided. Because like on a lot of major things, it's like I'm not getting anything. But then something like that will happen to me. So I know, well, I am being guided. It is there all the time. So I don't know, our expectations are too high. Like we expect bells to
Well, I think that's absolutely true. Your expectation, not you, but the general public's expectations are too high. People expect some booming voice of God or, you know, something.
Burning bush.
And that does happen occasionally. I mean, it's not unheard of. But most of the time, guidance is just that, you know, I used to call it that gut feel. It's just that gut feel to do this instead of that.
Yeah.
Well, there was something I did recently on a gut feel. I can't remember the story. But I remember my head was totally going in the other direction. And the gut was, and like I had no logical reason to follow the gut. But I did, and then very shortly I saw why that was the right choice. I don't remember the specific story. It happened just in the last few days. But, you know, that's very regular. You know, the gut knows better. It's kind of like we talked about the movie I Am. It said the heart is also a thinking instrument, but the heart actually knows what's coming up, where the brain doesn't. The brain only knows the past. Right? So intuitive guidance is actually better than your thinking. Our problem is we think our thinking is our survival instrument when it's not. It's the ego's survival instrument.
We've been trained not to trust it. We've been trained to trust our own reasoning.
Yes, we've been trained to trust our judgment.
And the major thing that we do is that we listen to our story about what we think is happening. So my story may be, I am going to lose my workers' comp, so I'm going to have to go on unemployment. Then I'm going to have to try to find a job. Then I'm going to have to get a car. Then I'm, you know, I'm listening to this story that's going on in my head about all the things that I think are going to happen. And when I stop and say, that's something I'm just making up. I'm making that whole thing up. I have no idea what is going to happen in the next minute. Less to say the next month or months or weeks or years or whatever. So stop making up the story and stop listening to the story. And I find that when I stop doing that, then all the fear that comes with all the projection of what I think is going to happen is gone. It just disappears. And then I'm ready to hear the next thing, and the next thing may be, you know, get up and go sit in the garden, or, you know, go wash the dishes. You know, I would be washing the dishes or sitting in the garden anyway, but I would be sitting there fretting over things instead of listening for the guidance that I'm getting every minute of the day. You know, who can make up what's going to happen?
Right.
I mean, that's just insanity, but we keep going on and on with it and terrify ourselves for no reason.
We terrify ourselves for no reason. All right, let's look at verses 25 to 35. What I ask you to leave behind, if you are to enter the kingdom of heaven, are your perceptions of others as separate from yourself. And these perceptions are upheld by the judgments you make of them. When you look at anyone, or even think of anyone, your mind busies itself in making judgments. They may seem to be good or bad, or favorable or unfavorable. But what each judgment has in common is that it splits the object brother off from others, of whom a different judgment is made. The judgments you make about yourself split you off in the same way. So if you are to walk with me on this path to healing, I ask only that you be willing to lay your judgments aside. Lay them down now, and your burdens will be light. Let loose your judgments as they hold no value for you. Come and walk with me. So it's really just a little more of the same. I don't think I have anything additional to say. But, I mean, you can see how it's true. You know, you can test it for yourself that, you know, it doesn't matter what I think of Roger. You know, it doesn't matter whether I think Roger's the greatest guy in the whole wide world or the worst, you know. Whatever I think of Roger makes Roger different from Jill, right? It's just the way it is. So it's both, we're supposed to the positive judgments and the negative judgments we're talking about. Anything that separates and says, this is what that person is, right?
And again, to bring it back to my own perception, that what I see when I look at Jill is my thought.
Yes.
Of what Jill or Roger or Ruby, that's my thought about you. That's not, has nothing to do with what you really are. Mm-hmm. It's just a perception that I have in my mind. And so when he's saying lay aside all your judgments, he's saying stop looking at you as if you were something different and separate from me. You're the thought I have in my mind of you.
And we could test that too, which we won't, but we could pass out paper and say, okay, everybody, write down what you think you know about Jill. Well, who do you think Jill is? What do you think she's like? And all of that. And then we'd never do this though, Jill. It would not be. I wouldn't do that to anybody. I wouldn't make anybody write that down, nor would I make anybody else have to bear it being written down. But you know without doing it that if we did that, our papers would not match exactly. We would have different, and Jill could even write, this is who Jill is. You know, and you know what? Jill's perception of Jill is actually just as wrong as my perception of Jill. That's the funny thing. Which is why he also says here that your judgments of yourself split you off in the same way. It's no different.
You know, I used to, you know, produce these smaller events once a month, and this woman used to do kinesiology. And she would I've seen other people do this, where they literally, they'll send the person out of the room, and then they'll say bad things about that person. And I hate that, you know, because I just don't like that.
It's not any fun, right?
But she'll prove to you, they would say good things, and the arm won't go down, you know, say bad things, and that person doesn't have a clue that they've been said bad things about them, and their arm will just go like that. So it's that negativity. You know, the way Master tells you, negativity, judgments make you sick. Mm. They affect your body, they affect yourself. Obviously, they affect that.
They affect each other.
Affect everything.
Yeah.
Well, what I get confused on them too is, but it's also asking us to let go of the good judgments as well. Mm-hmm. And because we're all about building everybody up, and so that's part of my confusion on that.
The confusion?
Because it feels good to build people up.
Yeah. The reason that you have to let go of your good judgments too is because every judgment is a two-sided coin.
there's good.
So, for example, I can't think that you are really sweet without also having an idea in my head of what, you know, kind of nasty is, and seeing somebody else as nasty. I can't do that. In order to have a definition of sweet, I also need a definition of nasty. And I'm going to find that nasty person somewhere. Same thing with Dave. There we go. So same thing with pretty and ugly and there's just everything comes in duality. So you can't throw away one half of a coin. You have to throw away the entire coin. So that's the reason why you have to let go of both sides, all judgment, because of the two-sided coin. Duality is what we call it.
And it's the same thing. That's the story I have that you're so sweet is just my story about you. It really has nothing to do with you at all. It just has to do with what I'm thinking in my own. I'm making it up.
Well,
so he's saying stop making stuff up. Accept reality. The reality is that there is no difference or separation between any of us. We are all exactly the same.
Yeah, and one exercise we can practice, because it's quiet, we don't write anything on paper, is if you just go ahead right now and look around at everyone, and some of these people you know better, some of these people you know not so well, but as you look at everyone, you can recognize, I want you to recognize the differences. Go ahead and recognize what is different about Lynn and me, or Danielle and me, in body, in face, but in personality, in what you think we think about ourselves and about other things. Go ahead and just, and then, look over there and you just look around and notice everything that separates us. Everything you can notice. All right? Then imagine putting all of that on a piece of paper, wadding it up and throwing it away. What are you left with?
Existence.
Yeah, that's the word I would probably use is existence. Nothing is a word some people actually put on it, and that scares some people, but that is a word people put on it, is nothing. And when you get down to that, can you find any differences between any of us? No. So that's what we're talking about. That can be called God. That can be called nothing. That can be called existence. That can be called spirit. That can be called isness. I love the word isness. That's one of my favorite words for it. But we all have that. Every single one of us has that. And it's not different. Stacy's being, isness, existence, is no different than mine. Everything else that we can, everything else may appear to be different. But that isn't. And that's where we're getting at the reality, is when we're starting to notice that within ourselves and with others. It's very formless is a word you hear. It's not anything you can describe with a quality, like pretty or ugly or sweet or nasty, right? But that's when we're getting down to the truth. So by throwing away all of these differences, good or bad, you are stripping away everything that separates.
Conversely, Jill builds her opinion of herself on other people's opinion of her. Everybody just sees themselves through everyone else's eyes.
Yeah.
So your own self-image is really false, and it's just as false because it's...
Right. If your mother told you all your life you're stupid, you grow up thinking you're stupid. If your mother told you all your life you're smart, you grow up thinking you're smart. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you suspend judgment on that person, you're helping them to,
to be free.
To separate.
Yeah.
Yeah, release themselves. All right. So why don't we go ahead and start chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now this has a little Bible icon here. And it says, the one who seems lost for whom you are looking is you. That one who is you seems lost in the crowd of illusion. Because you believe illusion, there is confusion about who you are. So let's talk about that now, that you may know who it is you are looking for as you look for the lost you. Now in the Bible, There are a few lost stories in a row. One is a woman has lost a coin, and she's looking for the coin. She stops everything to find her coin. One is a shepherd has lost a sheep, and he leaves, I think, the entire herd to look for the sheep. And then the other one is the most famous lost story of all, which is the parable of the lost son. What's the other word for it?
Prodigal
son. Yeah, in the NIV they call it the lost son, that he's the son who took his father's inheritance and went away. So this is a section in the Bible where they're telling these lost stories. Something is lost, and the one who has lost it wants it back, right? The one who has lost it wants it back. So again, he says, the one who seems lost, for whom you are looking, you're the one that lost it, is you. That one who is you seems lost in the crowd of illusion. Because you believe illusion, there is confusion about who you are. So let's talk about that now, that you may know who it is you are looking for as you look for the lost you. I have already said that you see yourself as a separate identity. This you willingly acknowledge. But you acknowledge this as a fact, when it is not a fact, it is a perception. The you that is lost is not lost in reality, but it is lost within the perception of yourself as separate. For you are not separate, and never have been, and never could be. It is only this truth that is lost to you. I have told you before that the truth is always true. The truth is that within all of creation, there exists nothing that is separate or apart from creation in any way. I do not mean that each thing you see is a part or an element of creation and yet somehow independent as well. I mean that there is no independence. Everything that exists is one. So I'll pause there for a moment. But, you know, one way that Eastern teachers speak of this is they say there is no doer. You know, obviously we all have the perception that we are independent. We have the perception that there are choices placed in front of us. We have the perception that we are making a decision. And then as a result, we may also have the perception that we get credit for or blame for the decision we have made. What this is saying is that that's all not true. That is all just our perception of what's happening. So we think we're making decisions when we're not making decisions. Now, I don't have, at least in this moment, a whole lot of direct insight on that. You know, as you guys know, I'm still awakening myself. And not being the doer is not something I've received the same clarity on that I have some other things. So this is still a learning area for me. But an example might be, if you imagine all of your thoughts as a script that's being fed for you, okay? So imagine the script says, I have to decide between whether I'm going on a date with this man or not. The script says, you know, well, I think this man is, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then the script says, well, based on what I think, I will go on the date with him. And we think we're thinking those thoughts when actually it's just all ego script. And this is why intuition can really work, because if you're going to be going on a date with the man anyway, right, you skip the thinking, you skip the ego script, and you just ask, you know, within, and whatever way you ask, what am I to do, you get a yes, go, and you go. And what starts to happen is as you skip the ego script, right, you stop having the perception that you are thinking and making decisions. You see? Because that's a perception, not a fact. But it's a perception that is reinforced by your willingness to listen to that script, thinking that it is individual thinking and not seeing I'm just following a script here. So that's another advantage to surrender, to asking for guidance, is it takes your attention away from that ego script, which also takes your attention away from the belief that you are an independent thinker making decisions. Instead, you may feel more like an independent follower, right? But that's moving more in the right direction. And also, my experience is the more you're surrendered, the more you notice these incredible coincidences that you might not notice when you're focused on the script. And somehow you start to know in some way this is all connected, because there's no way, you know, this could have happened. You know, I hear myself saying it this way. I couldn't have planned that, right? But like I said, this is not anything that I have super strong clarity on like I do with some things. I still have the perception that I'm a doer. So I want to be honest about that. But this is telling us, and Eastern masters tell us too, that is not truth. That is only perception.
Something that's coming really clear for me right now, and I don't know if it doesn't really matter. Something that's coming really clear for me right now is that every story is the same story. Like the story you were just telling about, should I go on a date or not, blah, blah, blah. That story plays itself over and over and over and over throughout the world, throughout all cultures, throughout humanity. It's happening constantly all the time. And so the idea that somehow or the other the story is different and separate and special for me because it's my story,
right,
is just so absurd. And every story that I've ever come up with and every story that I've ever heard has been the same story I've heard from other people and other, you know, and the more, I guess, the more communication we have around the world, the more you hear, like, from the internet and everything, this is the same stuff going on over and over and over again. And so it's obvious to me, that makes it so obvious to me that it is a script.
Yeah.
These are not my real thoughts. This is not right. What's really happening. This is just a play that's going on over and over and over again.
And the words you just used, those are the words Jesus uses in A Course in Miracles. Those are not your real thoughts. Right? That's exactly the words he uses. So, you know, I don't think, at least it's not that hard for me to imagine that somehow a script is being fed and then you're just caught up in it and believing it and thinking it's you thinking. In fact, through inquiry, if you start really looking at a thought and saying, where did that thought come from, you start to notice thoughts just kind of appear. They just show up, right? You can't really trace a thought back to anything but nothingness. That's the only, they appear, and then they disappear whenever you let them. They'll stay around as long as you hold on to them, but they come from, it is like you're being fed a script. It's like there's a teleprompter up here in the brain, you know? But you think that's your thinking. You think that's you. And so you think you're making decisions. You think you're weighing pros and cons. But all you're really doing is listening to a meaningless ego script that is teaching you that you're a separate individual and that everything else is a separate individual. Right?
Well, that's the need do nothing, then. It makes more sense.
And why do you say the need do nothing makes more sense now?
Because it's going to happen anyway. It's in the script.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking and worrying and fretting about it, and you're doing, or you think you're doing all these things, it's just, that's just more of the thoughts.
Yeah, I will tell you one piece of clarity that I seem to have. Of course, some clarities, you know, are just stepping stones to another clarity. They're not final. So I'm not going to call this a final clarity. But one clarity that I seem to receive a few years ago that I have not gone beyond is that there really are two types of guidance. One I would call guidance of the script, and the other one I would more likely call Holy Spirit's guidance. So like the other day, you know, and usually when I'm talking to people, I just throw them all in the same bucket as Holy Spirit. I don't go around, you know, being specific. But like the other day when the memory of the envelope of the open mailbox crossed my mind, and then you know, my head turned and I saw the envelope, I actually call that guidance of the script. But this morning when I was sitting down in contemplation and I got to a very, very deep realization that Ramana Maharshi has spoken of, but I never could understand or never, you know, could imagine. And this morning I saw it for myself. That I would call Holy Spirit, that guidance, that inner self that is guiding me to, away from the belief in the illusion and further in the truth. I call that Holy Spirit. So I feel like I experience two types of guidance, both of which we can call intuition, but maybe one is intuition with a little I and one is intuition with a capital I. And so one is just guiding you into what you would have done anyway, you could say, right? It's the script, but it's taking you away from the thinking and therefore it's guiding you away from the belief that you're the thinker or the doer. The other type of guidance is the guidance that is waking you up from the script completely. And that's at least the way I experience it now. So, I remember one time I was cooking for study with the scribe, and on Wednesday mornings, those of you who came know that on Wednesday mornings I serve breakfast, and you never knew how much people were going to eat or anything. Oh, I got another story to tell you in a second that's really good. But there was a guy watching me, and I just kind of paused for a moment, and then I got out 8 eggs. And he said, how did you decide to cook 8 eggs? And I said, I asked. And he said, so God's telling you to cook 8 eggs? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, my guess is that if I'd stood here and thought about it and counted the people and thought about who I thought would eat eggs and who wouldn't eat eggs, I would have ended up deciding 8 anyway. This was just a shortcut. That's the way I put it. But that's the way I think. Like, I could have followed that ego script and gone through all that brain energy and still would have cooked 8 eggs. Now, here's a story I have to tell, which Danielle hasn't heard yet. But Saturday, it's not anything bad. I'm going to tell a bad story about Danielle. Let's make Danielle look bad. No. Saturday, after we went hiking, we decided to go out to dinner. And my intuitive guidance was to go ahead and go to this one particular restaurant in Pueblo West. But I also just had this feeling that the service was going to be slow and the food was going to be bad. So I asked, well, instead of going, you know, within, all this is all happening, instead of going there, should we go, you know, here? And the guidance was no, go there. So, and I think Ron had the same intuitive guidance, which is kind of funny, because he even asked, I thought it was so funny, he asked, will the service be fast? And I thought to myself, that's a funny question for him to ask. And I think I said, well, last time we went, wasn't it okay? But inside I already had this feeling, no, actually it's probably going to be slow and the food's going to suck. But I'm not going to say that to him.
That's why we're going there.
Who knows why we went there? I mean, I don't know that. I don't know, we don't always know things, right? But we went, and indeed the service was slow. It was actually comical. Because the waitress at one point asked us if we wanted coleslaw, comes with all the meals, and she asked us if we wanted our coleslaw before the meal or with the meal, and we all said with the meal. And about 10 minutes later, she brought us just our coleslaw, and she says, I'm bringing you your coleslaw now because your food is coming right out. But it didn't. Like 10 or 15 more minutes passes. Now, two of us had ordered food that needed to be cut with a steak knife. So she brought, it was Jasmine and me, she brought Jasmine and me each a steak knife, and she said, I'm bringing you your steak knife now because your food is about to come out. You know? And then like 10 or 15 minutes goes by. So it was really funny. And then when the food came, mine was really horrible. Ron said his was okay, but he confessed later that it actually wasn't. He said that it wasn't good. Mine was really bad. I've never seen a steak cooked that badly before. Yes, sir?
Which restaurant?
Not on the recording. Okay, I'll tell you later.
I know.
Yeah, okay, but not on the recording. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. No. But what was funny was, and then of course the whole time I'm there, I'm totally at peace. Totally at peace. I'm just laughing on the inside and I don't know what's going to happen or why this is unfolding. I'm supposed to teach at 6:30. It was 6:05 when they brought the food to the table. And so I don't even know if I'm going to make it. And I'm thinking, well, if I'm not going to make it to my teaching, I guess that means I'm not supposed to make it to my teaching because this is all, everything's perfect. I knew everything was perfect. But again, you know, even though this situation wasn't perfect, I mean, you know, people who are thinking of all guidance as coming from some Holy Spirit character would say, well, why would Holy Spirit send you to a restaurant with bad food and slow service? Well, I would say that was just the guidance of the script. maybe if we'd had a huge discussion, everything, that's where we would have ended up deciding to go anyway, and that's what was going to happen anyway. You know what I mean? So I perceive from my perception point, there are kind of, you know, little I intuition and capital I intuition. One is leading us through what's going to happen anyway, and the other one is awakening us. And maybe this is what Ken Wapnick is talking about when he gets very specific and says, Holy Spirit does not guide in the world. You know? Because if I divide into the little I intuition and the capital I intuition, I would say the capital I intuition is not guiding in the world. It's only guiding me to wake up. But meanwhile, there is something else there that is not my thinking that I can follow in the world. So I don't think it's necessary in the mind to try and divide the two. I think the only thing that's necessary in the mind is to learn that, you know, you're covered and you can just surrender to intuition and just follow intuition and know it's going to guide you perfectly, right? Through whatever you need to go through whatever's supposed to happen anyway. And it's always perfect, even if the service is slow and your steak sucks. It's still perfect. It's always perfect. In fact, what's the only thing that would make me think that wasn't perfect? Judgment. It's the only thing that could make me think that wasn't perfect. Yeah. So again, there is no independence, right? On the way out, by the way, a woman, very proud, so I don't know if she was like the owner's wife or what, but on the way out, she was very proud, and we're walking out the restaurant, and she says, how was it? And I said, okay. And she said, okay. And I said, look, I have to go to work. I have to be at work in 10 minutes. I can't talk. And I said, but the steak was way overdone. And she said, okay, I'll tell. So maybe that's why it happened. You know, who knows why it happened? So, moving on. Okay, so, when you look at the world, I'm starting at sentence 17. When you look at the world or think of the world, you accept that everything that is not of your body is separate and apart from you. Your friends and family are separate. The furniture within your house is separate. Even the clothes that you are wearing on your body are seen as separate from you. I am saying this is not true. This perception is illusion, and this is why I say that you are lost to you. And so, this course must be a course in finding you. Everything that is put forth in this course must be put forth to help you discover the truth of you. This is why there shall be rejoicing when the one that is lost is found, because the one that is lost is all that is, and when it is found, it is all that is needed. So next week we'll look at the parable of the lost son. But basically, you know, just to kind of sum up what we've looked at today, is we've looked at judgment separates. So again, we want to continue with our practice of asking for guidance in the moment, because if we're not using guidance, we are using judgment, right? And we need to let go of that. But also, this last little part, even though it uses slightly different language, it's got more specific. What it's really saying, sorry, I didn't mean to turn off the recorder early. What it's really saying is that because of our judgment, because of our belief in separation, which comes from our judgment, we don't know who we are. And it's saying that's the real problem here, is you've totally lost who you are in your judgment, which is creating this world of separation. And everything that used to blow my mind away when I first started as a student, everything that you think is true is not true. This is how lost you are. And judgment is the primary cause of that. And so, if you want to know the truth, and if you want to know who you really are, your true self, then you must choose to let go of judgment. And the best way to do that is by following intuitive guidance. It allows you to be in the world, but not of the world. And it will help them to start erasing all of those differences and have more and more clarity come. In fact, what we'll call, even as you're following the guidance of the script, you're letting go of the thinking, which leaves space for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to come in and bring more and more and more clarity and awaken you. But if you keep following your own judgment and keep following your own script, you know, keep following your own thinking, I meant to say, then what you're doing is you're blocking out the Holy Spirit and the clarity it can bring. All right? So I will turn off the recorder, and we'll go ahead and take a few minutes of silence just to look at that, and then we will come back and discuss it.